Welcome to the Sportscast, January 3rd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It'll help us out tremendously. Oregon finished off the season very strong, winning, beating Michigan State 7-6, stringing a strong signal from Justin Herbert, hey, I'll be back stronger next year. And to talk to us a little bit about what happened at the Red Box Bowl, Mr. Tyler Turner, welcome to the Sportscast.
What's up, man? Hey, your thing's cutting out a little bit.
Oh, I am? Okay.
Yeah, your signal's cutting out. It's kind of like going in and out.
Okay, no, it's fine. So what's your thoughts about the Oregon game?
I can't hear you. Your thing's cutting in and out.
Oh, wow. I guess the connection is not good.
What did you ask me?
What were your thoughts about the Oregon game?
It was not an exciting game to watch. It was very a lot of defense. Michigan State probably, if I'm gonna look at it from a holistic approach, probably slight outplayed actually Oregon. Meaning Michigan State drove the ball inside Oregon's, Oregon territory several times. You know, they had that one turnover. They were inside the red zone. The guy ended up making a bad decision to Warkey and throwing the one pass. Jevin Wallach, freshman safety, intercepted it. They also once got in the red zone, went for it on fourth down, didn't get it. They also missed a field goal. They also, another time, were attempting a field goal. It was a bad snap, and they ended up not converting. So Michigan State probably, if you look at it from just like a stats perspective, and you look at the game in its entirety, I would actually say Michigan State played better than Oregon, but Oregon won, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters is who wins. Or at least as far as like the record wins loss, it was a bowl game, so it's the last game of the season for both teams. It ended up being a 9-4 first season for Mario Cristobal, which is, I would say, I know I made an outrageous prediction at the beginning of the year, and I said I thought Oregon was going to make the playoffs, but honestly, that was not realistic. No. Whether it be the talent on the roster, the lack of depth, the fact it was a third coach in three seasons, it's just not going to happen. So, like, realistically, they were a 8-5 at the worst to, like, 10-3, maybe 11-2 team. So 9-4, I would consider a fairly good season. Not great, but fairly good. But at the end of the day, it was a weak schedule, weaker conference, and a decent amount of talent on the roster, especially at the quarterback position. So I would say 9-4 was a B season.
How optimistic are you for Oregon for next year?
Hey, by the way, you're not having trouble hearing me because my kid's back then, are you?
No, it's okay. It's fun.
Can you hear them?
Yes.
Can you hear me good?
Yeah, but just background noise.
Yeah.
So,
what'd you say?
Oh, yeah. So, what are your, like, are you feeling optimistic for next year for Oregon?
Well, what do you think?
Elaborate.
I'm going to ask you that question. No, what do you think? You think I should be optimistic or not?
You should be. I know Herbert is going to come back stronger, more mature, and I think a few of their good players are coming back as well.
Oh, yeah. So as of right now, we are returning 10 of 11 starters on offense and for sure 7 of 11 on defense. If Troy Dye comes back, he's still not decided if he's going to the draft or not. It would be 8 of 11. So you're returning in its entirety 18 of 22 starters. You're returning back a first-round quarterback, a guy who is a projected top 10 pick. He will be probably the best quarterback coming into next season in the Pac-12. You're returning all your offensive line, and you had four of those guys were honorable mention, first or second team all-conference by one of the media sources, whether it be PFF, coaches, all-conference teams, or the media all-conference teams. And then you're also returning almost all of your two deep on the defensive line, and pretty much you're starting secondary, especially your two corners. So when you break that down, and you signed the top 10 class, and also, hey, can you hold on 1 second?
Okay, no problem. Sorry, guys, we're going through technical difficulties, but we're talking about Oregon and their future, and I think it's looking good. Herbert is coming back, and a lot of their defense is coming back. So
okay, I'm back.
Please let us know.
I'm back. Okay. Yeah, it's a little more difficult today. Sorry. Because I can't hear what I'm talking. I have kids screaming in my ear. I literally cannot think properly. So just so you know. Anyway, back to what I was saying. I would say, yes, we're probably going to. You saw the Athlon poll, and you're going to see a bunch of way too early. So you're going to see it way too early by probably The Athletic, way too early by ESPN, way too early by SI.com. Well, we already have our first way too early by Athlon Sports, and Oregon was 12. I think they're going to probably fall 10 to 15 almost every way too early, probably post-spring. And then when you have the preseason AP, just as long as there's not horrible attrition and you return, for the most part, everyone along with a top 10 class from this year. You know, you also had a top 15 class last year, so two talented classes. I'm expecting Oregon to be 10 to 15 range to start next season. So, yeah, I'd say 12 is a pretty good median.
Speaking about players, Helen Mitchell will finish his career at Oregon as the record holder for the most yards in a single season. On Wednesday, he announced he will leave Oregon and pursue the NFL draft. You think he's ready?
As ready as he's going to be. I mean, he had a great season. He had 75 catches for, I don't know, 1,183 yards or something. I don't know, it was like 10 touchdowns. Your other three leading receivers are all coming back combined at 76 catches. Sophomore Jalen Redd, junior Brennan Schooler, and sophomore Johnny Johnson III. So, yeah, I think he made a pretty good decision. I don't think his stock was going to go up that much. I also think there's enough talent coming in next year and a couple of the guys that redshirted this year that I think are going to be productive in the wide receiving core, that actually I think Mitchell's numbers would have gone down next year. I don't think he would have had near as good of numbers. And I think he is what he is. He's a 6'1" guy. He's probably an NFL slot receiver. He has good short area quickness. He's tough to, he gets good separation. He also can return. He's a punt returner. He doesn't have great top end speed. He's really consistent catching the ball sometimes, as you saw in the bowl game. Did you see the bowl game, Oregon?
I did not see it.
Oh, wow. You would have seen a lot of drop passes, including by Dylan Mitchell. But yeah, Dylan Mitchell probably, that's one knock I'd have against him, is he sometimes is just inconsistent catching the ball. As much as he made 75 catches, he probably also had about 10 to 12 drops. So, I have a thing about when you are given a Division I scholarship to do one thing, and that's to catch a football, and you drop like the one receiver, Johnny Johnson III, he returns next year, had 17 catches on the year and 10 drops. That's terrible.
That's terrible.
I mean, he dropped about 40% almost of his passes. I mean, it's just like you have one job. My gosh. So I have a big time. If a receiver drops passes, I'm not used to it. I think Dylan Mitchell, he'll probably end up being fifth or sixth round draft veteran.
Not bad. In other college football news, Miami Hurricanes, due to the Mark Richt retirement, hired Manny Diaz, and there were rumors that Cristobal was an option, but were not willing to pay out or to buy out his contract from Oregon. What were your thoughts about Canes hiring?
Well, that okay. the fact that he was an option is probably, I would just say, there's probably a lot of objectivism behind that, meaning he's a former alum. He's a great recruiter. His main recruiting base was when he was at Alabama as its recruiting coordinator with South Florida. You're going to bring in a guy who's young, he's energetic, he's a great recruiter. I think that it's pretty much known that Mario Cristobal is one of the top three options. He's in a lot. I mean, he played for Miami. He was a graduate coach under Bush Davis. I mean, he was going to be an option. So I think they reached out to him, and what I've heard, at least through some sourcing within Oregon, it sounded like they did reach out to him the week before. They said Rick was going to retire. Would he be interested? And according to the report, he said no. I don't think it had anything to do with the buyout. And I don't buy the buyout either for Miami, because Miami bought Manny Diaz out for $4 million. And, yeah, guaranteed $10 million is more, granted. But I think at the end of the day, I think Mario Cristobal is very much a man of his word. He just signed a bunch of guys, 22 guys exact, signed an early signing period to play for his program. He has only been here a year. He also, this team, Oregon Ducks, just had Willie Taggart leave after 1 year. So between all of that, I think Mario Cristobal decided that right now is not the right time for him to leave.
And it shows the commitment with Cristobal.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with the buyout. I just don't think Mario Cristobal is going to leave right now.
What's your thoughts about the Orange Bowl between Alabama and Oklahoma?
I don't really have much thoughts on it. I mean, I guess it kind of went like I thought it would. Oklahoma had no defense. They were literally just like Tua was throwing to open guys all night long. I mean, I think they did that 10-yard slant route like sometimes like six plays in a row for touchdowns. They didn't get any pressure on him. It was just a very easy game for the offense. Oklahoma is who they are. They have a good offense. That CeeDee Lamb was just incredible. He made a ton of great plays. That guy's going to be an All-American future NFL guy. But Kyler Murray is obviously a walking video game. But that being said, one comment on Kyler Murray. Remember, just for the record, people, San Diego that morning said that he thought that Kyler Murray was going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
I did say that.
Where did you get that?
I was reading some articles. Some scouts were talking about he could potentially be up there.
For the number one pick in the draft. What scout said it?
I think a scout from the NFC. I didn't get the name, but someone from the NFC did say that.
You're going to have to give me the exact name and team.
I will try to figure that one out. Yeah.
You know that I am all over the internet. I also definitely love to search like blogs and like scouting and analysts. I have not seen one place that said that Kyler Murray is going to be the first pick of the draft. I saw a couple places that said that he would be drafted. I saw places where they thought the fact that he could come in as an athlete because of his athletic ability, he's a guy that could play in the NFL. I agree with that. I think that Kyler Murray. Do I think Kyler Murray would be a good NFL quarterback? No, I do not. And that was one thing I noticed. Because Alabama has NFL defensive linemen, you saw that, you know, that tall, when he was in the pocket, his pass was completely off, or he was getting his passes batted down. Like, he could not complete really a pass from the pocket. All his plays were made scrambling to the left, scrambling to the right, stepping up. That's where all his plays were made. And that is the problem. In the NFL, they are all defensive linemen.
And Tyler is gone. You still there, Tyler?
In the way, and a spot that have trouble seeing over that. And you can't just scramble around. athletes are in the NFL, so therefore they're going to catch him. He's also going to get hurt. You're eventually going to get hurt scrambling like one. Look at like the great scramblers. Look at Robert Griffin III. How long did he last? 1-2 years. Michael Vick had a pretty short career with a lot of injuries.
Manziel.
And these are some amazing scramblers. Yeah. Like anyone who's known for their scrambling ability, when they got to the NFL, they find themselves getting hurt a lot. And that would happen with Kyler Murray. He's small, too. So not only is he a scrambler, he's a small guy. So he would get hurt, stand in the pocket, he just would not be able to, he'd have trouble, he'd get past knocked down probably like 3-4 a game. So I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. And therefore, he's coming into NFL as like a punt returner, maybe a slot receiver. And you just don't know. He's never really played that. Never played it in high school, never played it in college. So how good would he be? I think his best move is don't make millions of baseball. He's going to be a great baseball player. He's going to be a great center fielder. He's going to steal a lot of bases. He's going to be a great leadoff guy. I mean, go play baseball. I think he's going to be the guy's going to develop into an all-star baseball player. Instead of being an out of position, maybe something he's not used to in the NFL, if he wants to try that, fine. But as an NFL quarterback, if they think that, they're stupid.
If he did enter the NFL draft, where would he land? I mean, what round would he get picked?
Probably like middle of the round. And like, once again, I think it'd be as an athlete. I think it'd be middle.
Okay.
Not even close to, like, now Haskins, is Dwayne Haskins declared yet?
No, there's no word yet from him.
Okay. Well, he's the first pick if he declares, so I hope he does.
Yeah, there is a short quarterback pool this year, apparently.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably only really three first-round guys. Drew Locke, I don't know. I saw him again. I don't know if I buy him as a first-round guy. I think it's a little bit of a reach.
He'll be a good backup quarterback.
What's funny about that?
Well, there were some fans that liked Drew Locke on the show, so I was thinking about them when you said that.
Oh, who likes Drew Locke?
There are a few fans that watch the show that like them, that vax to about them, but I don't know their names specifically. But
oh, okay. Yeah, like I'd like someone to explain to me how he's going to be a future franchise quarterback. I mean, I just haven't seen it. I've saw him play 3-4 times this year, and he's an inconsistent passer. He's not very accurate. He does move pretty well. He's a pretty athletic guy. He does have a big arm. Hey, guys, I literally cannot hear myself.
Yes, you can.
He's a good athlete. He's a big arm. He's a pretty big guy, but he's not very accurate. I don't know. He's a guy. Do I think he gets picked the first time? Yeah, I do. Because I don't think there's that many good. Like, I don't think Drew Locke's the first round quarterback, but he gets drafted in the first round. I don't even know if Daniel Jones is, but I do like Daniel Jones better than Locke. I think he's a little more accurate. He also has some good size, good mobility, but he's definitely going to land in the first round. Do I think he's a first round pick some years? No. Yeah, I think Dwayne Haskins is the only guy, and I don't love Haskins. I do not love Haskins. I don't think he's extremely mobile.
How about Will Greer?
No. He's not a first-round quarterback. If he gets drafted first-round, he's way overdrafted. Good college quarterback, but no. Not a super strong arm, undersized. He's mobile, but he's not really even that ridiculously mobile. He's a good college quarterback. That guy's not a – he's a backup quarterback for life in the NFL.
How about Shea Patterson?
To be honest with you. I'm like, he's not going to the NFL draft.
Okay.
Chip Harrison's not going to the NFL.
Period. Well, anyways, due to your time, anything else before game predictions?
What'd you say? Yep.
Ready?
Yep.
Let's go. Well, it's all NFL now, but Colts at the Texans.
I would say the Texans. I'm going to go Texans at all.
The Seahawks at the Cowboys.
Seahawks play pretty good. I don't trust Cowboys in the playoffs. I'm going to say Seahawks.
The Chargers at the Ravens. Big game.
I think Chargers.
Chargers. Tyler picks. Eagles at the Bears.
I like the Bears at all. Yeah, Bears.
Bears. And finally, national championship, Clemson versus Alabama at Levi Stadium.
I think it's a terrific game. A terrific game for the fan, for as far as viewers. Well, terrific game as far as to watch between undeniably the two best programs, not just this year, but over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the fourth time in a row they've met in the playoffs. This is the third time in the last 4 years they've met for the national title. I just think that, it's going to be two of the best programs by a long way. You look at the talent composite, a little more talent probably for man, especially with depth probably in Alabama, sorry. But Clemson, you know, they've just developed such a terrific program. They always get really – the thing about Clemson, Dabo Sweeney, is he gets very good talent, but it's how where he gets the talent. He always gets a really talented quarterback. He always has some really talented receivers. He always has some really talented receivers, and he usually gets really talented defensive linemen. Like, he's pretty much the last 4 or 5 years, he's always had guys in the defensive line that are first-round NFL prospects. And that's what he is this year. It's a team that has a great defensive line that's going to get pressure on the quarterback. Then he has a quarterback who's the number one prep quarterback coming. A number one prep quarterback coming in. But then you got Alabama, who's just absolutely loaded at every skill position. You got 3-4 guys you got 2-3 running backs are NFL guys, an offensive line that's 3-4 guys that are, I mean, first round guys. I'm saying NFL guys, like first, second round guys. Defensively, I don't think this is Nick Saban's best team. I can't put a finger on it, but for some reason this defense does give up some points. I mean, granted, like, Oklahoma has a very good offense and it's talented players and has a great offensive scheme with Lincoln Riley. But Alabama just this year, you know, I've seen maybe it's a little bit of a weakness in the secondary. I'd have to look at it closer. I'd have to look at the personnel because they have to have the talent there. For some reason,
it's not clicking.
It's just not. No. That's my goodness. I said they're not as good at pass defense. I didn't say they're a dumpster fire. Not clicking would say that they're not good. Alabama is in the national title for the fourth straight year. I mean, their defense is fine.
You think they did well against Kyler Murray?
I mean, Kyler Murray's going to be a tough guy to stop for anybody. I do think that Alabama's defense is not as good as defenses in the past. So do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Alabama's, I mean, this is like probably Nick Saban's weakest defense.
Yeah, which his weakest defense is better than 95% of the defenses in the country. I mean, Alabama, through the reign of Nick Saban, has an argument. It's been really no question that they're the best defense in the country. I mean, he was known for defense. There's always offenses that were a little vanilla, offenses that are a little boring, a little simplistic. It was never the defense. This defense is probably not on the level of some of those other defenses, but it's still very good. I mean, you got like Quinton Williams, you have Dylan Moses, you have still a lot of great players. I just, for some reason, they're just not as good. But Clemson has some really good players. I mean, you got Trevor Lawrence, who was the number one prep quarterback. He's the guy who's probably going to be a Heisman favorite the next 2 years. He's probably going to be the number one player drafted in the 2021 draft. He's just a terrific player. He can do it all. He can pass. He can move. He can read. He can improvise. Doesn't matter what you tell him to do. He's a terrific player. You have a couple great receivers. Tay Higgins, I remember him in high school, a 5-star. I forgot the other guy's name. He was a big-time 4- or 5-star receiver. Is it Watkins? maybe it's not. I forgot his name offhand, but he was a big-time prep recruit at the wide receiver position that Clemson got this past year. And, you know, Travis Etienne, a big-time guy, a really terrific player. And he's got really good offensive players for Clemson. I think Clemson's good as far. Obviously, Alabama's offense is tough to stop, but I think the key is getting pressure on Tua. When I've noticed any team that has that pressure on Tua, when you get pressure on Tua, sometimes he tries to do too much. What I've seen with Tua is when he is given ample time and he makes that read, he's very accurate, he's very precise, he knows where he's going, these weapons are always open because they're way better than everyone else, and therefore he just dissects the defense and they score 50, 60 points, whatever. The couple games that I saw that he struggled is when his guys aren't quite as open because they're a little better athletes in the secondary, and there is a defensive line that gets the pressure on him. Tua has tended to be a little bit like tries to make too much out of something that's not there, doesn't get rid of the ball in time, will take a sack, or will make an ill-advised pass. Well, if Clemson's front seven with front four, which is probably the best in the NFL, with Austin Bryant, Christian Wilkinson, Dexter Lawrence, Celine Farrell, if they can get pressure on Tua, they can then force him to make bad decisions and therefore make the mistakes, and therefore that would really be kind of the cutting ground of who can separate from the other. I think it's going to happen. I remember when they played each other in 2016 National Championship. It was after Alabama lost to Ohio State the year before in the playoffs. I'm like, I think Alabama's going to win this year. They're mad they didn't win last year. They did. They beat Clemson in the national title final. Great game. It was 45-40. Next year, Clemson and Alabama played. I'm like, you know what? Everyone says this Alabama team is the best. I remember they were saying that was the best Alabama team ever. But I'm like, you know what? I think Clemson and Deshaun Watson as a senior comes back and wins it. They won it. I was right. Then when they played last year, I'm like, you know, Clemson won it last year. I think Alabama barely sneaking in the playoffs and they're coming in with a chip on their shoulder, and I think they're going to beat them. I was right. Well, this year, I think that Clemson comes back and beats Alabama. I think they're able to get pressure on him. I think Trevor Lawrence makes enough plays, and I think in the end that it's like, I don't know, I think it's going to be like 35-28 Clemson.
35-28 Alabama loses against Clemson. And random question is, should you go to work ill?
You mean are contagious or not contagious?
Ooh, let's say a cold or flu.
Well, cold and flu are contagious, no. Because you're getting risky getting everyone sick. It's very selfish.
That's true.
If it's something you have in your own personhood, I don't know, like a staph infection or that's manageable or something like that that's not contagious, then I think you do go to work because, you know, as long as you're able to take antibiotics to heal up from it, it's fine. But if it's something that's contagious to other people, it's viral. Yeah.
And Tyler, how can people reach you to talk about Oregon's recruiting?
Oh, nice. Tyler Turner, what is my handle? You know it.
Tyler Turner, MPLS.
I'm driving, so I don't. Okay.
You don't remember your handle. It's on Instagram and Twitter. You can reach him on both. And Tyler will be following the games this weekend, of course. And we'll recap the national championship next week. Tyler, I appreciate your insight and your input on the sportscast.
All right, thanks, good.